All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. It is August 19th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you were at. It is Monday. Back to work today. It's been a while since I did the podcast. I actually sat down the other day and did like 20 minutes of one and wasn't really feeling it, so never put it out. Just taking a break, I guess. I don't know. The mind plays the crazy tricks. But I do enjoy it, so I thought I would sit down. I just finished, I did work this morning. It is Monday. I got a lot of shit going on, really. I did work this morning for a little bit, and then I had to go see my chico in my dad's house because my father is now in the hospital, which is never good. And, you know, hope all will work out for him. He actually called 911 and had the ambulance come and take him to the hospital because he was sick and tired of it. And he actually ended up going to the hospital, and then they ended up taking some x-rays and a CAT scan, and they actually figured out what the issue that he is having. He is actually having an issue. And, you know, that's the tough part about, you know, getting old and the medical healthcare sort of situation that these folks have to go through. My dad must have been to 15 doctor's appointments all here, over there, you know, everywhere, trying to figure out this one freaking problem. And goes to the ER, and of course they're like, oh, we know what this is, and we can fix it. And so, fingers crossed, he actually went in the other day. I guess he went in on, I don't know, was it Thursday or Friday? And saw his doctor. They came up with a plan. And then they decided, he actually asked if he could just stay in there until today when they were supposed to do the procedure. And then over the weekend, he started having a heart issue, you know, and then they moved him to another floor, up to the fourth floor. And now I talked to him this morning and he said his heart was doing better. They were going to move him back to the third floor. And now I talked to him again. He says his heart's having problems again. So who knows, right? Who knows? So, you know. Say a prayer for my father, if you're into it. If not, just, you know, keep him in your thoughts. But I think hopefully it'll be all right. But man, I tell you what, the idea of losing that guy really has clearly, you know, we never want to see or lose a parent. You know, when my mom died, it was definitely sad. But I don't know. There's something weird about like your father or the last parent. You know, and he hasn't passed away, so let's not get a before the cart, right? But it just makes me sort of think, get out of the moment, right? Get into the future of what that looks like. And it's scary, you know. My dad has been, you know, around for us my whole life. So it's just, it's bizarre. And, but hopefully he will be okay. Yeah, that's what's really been going on. We've had family in town. It's been, you know, it's been summer. And summer here can be a little crazy, a little hectic, been busy with work and trying to manage family and obviously still, you know, work a program and go to a lot of meetings and this and that. I have changed my meetings. I am doing different meetings now. I don't know if I shared about that lately, but I'm going to a new meeting tonight at 6:30. And it's kind of a cool meeting because the first meeting, or I think the first, so it's on a Monday, so whatever, I think the first Monday of the month, they do a step, and then the rest of the month, they do the big book, and I love it. You know, I might have shared, I had this weird thing that happened to me last week where I had listened to a guy talk about, you know, early recovery, basically saying, unless you find God, you know, you're never going to get sober. It was a little bit harsher back in those days. And then the third person, and then, I don't know, it was just a series of meetings and readings that I was like, wow, this is really crazy. And so it was a great meeting. Looking forward to going back to it tonight. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm on Facebook. I don't know if whoever's on does social media and stuff, but, you know, a lot of people post different things and, you know, I try to, you know, I share whatever I share, right? It's nothing, I'm not big into it, but, you know, I always find it more just sort of documenting my kids growing up and our lives and, you know, these memories pop up and it's like, God, I remember that. Look how small they were, right? So you know, I mean, I enjoy Facebook. It's not the, it's not a big deal. But a friend of mine posted this, let's see if I can even find it. Maybe I can't. You know, and of course I had to comment, and it sort of went down. It went to, let me see if I can find it here. You know, and it was not, it was definitely not meant to be, okay, here it is. It says, and so the one thing about, you know, Facebook is a lot of people will write their thoughts, right? Deep thoughts by me or whatever. And but some people will just share other people's writings, right? And so when my friend posted this, it was clearly, you know, the way it's written, he didn't write it, right? He was just sharing this. So it said, what does sober mean in recovery? Question mark. And it says, at its simplest level, sobriety is the act of not drinking alcohol or consuming drugs. This is where most people in recovery naturally begin. First fighting the lingering effects of withdrawal, and then working hard to maintain abstinence. All of the while fighting cravings for alcohol, both conscious and unconscious. Seems pretty legit. I mean, I don't know. But I, you know, so I had to comment, and I wrote, and so when I commented, I'm commenting on what this person had written. I didn't comment it on, it's like my friend writing it, right? But I wrote, sober means to get to that place where you don't have to explain what sober means. And he wrote, well, guess I'm not sober. And I said, sobriety is free of drink, and serenity is free of think, and you're doing just fine. And that's what I think, right? That's you know, it's, and I've talked about it hundreds of times, like the ninth step or the ninth, the promises, right? When you've worked all these steps, you get to that point. It's not important what the promises are. It's not important what we get, right? And I think if you work a program, or if I've worked a program and get to a place in my life where, you know, I've worked all the steps and I'm working with other people, I think we get to a place where, you know, we don't have to, we don't feel the need to explain what sobriety is. Respond, Pearl Jam, new Pearl Jam album, great album, check it out. Yeah, don't react, respond, man. So yeah, it was interesting, and it's sort of, there was some more comments, and you know, I was like, man, that's not what I was intending. I wasn't bad mouthing or saying anything. I was just saying, you know, I think there's a point, you know, one of the one of the things that I've learned in recovery and in this journey is that my drinking is not the problem. My drinking and my drugging are character defects, right? My biggest problem was when I was using was I got caught too much, right? I always say if I could have sat on the freaking couch and drink vodka and watch SportsCenter, I'd probably still be doing that, right? I drank just fine. My drinking, I was a professional drinker, right? It was the behavior and the shit that the places I ended up after my professional drinking that got me in trouble, right? I got caught too much. A lot of people, including myself, when I came into this program, you know, I thought I had a drinking problem. And I did. But that is, turns out, is a character defect of mine, right? I'm, you know, whether it's lying, cheating, stealing, right? Drinking too much, all these things would be on that list, right? I've shared before, you know, if you're gonna get on a spaceship and you're gonna fly for 6 months with five other people, we better know our character defects. And this would fall under the list of character defects. Drinks too much, right? You know, no humility, self-centered. These are all character defects, right? Drinking is a character defect. That is the problem. My real issue that I have. What was that? The real problem that I have is that I am self-centered asshole with a deficiency in God. My real problem is I don't have any God in my life, right? And over time and working these steps and going to a lot of meetings, I've learned, right, how much fear has played a role in my life. And so doing the steps, if we do it honestly, rigorously honesty, and we put all of our effort into it and learn what we're about and learn what not to do, we can live a life that doesn't have fear in it, right? And to me, that is the ultimate goal, right? And that is, to me, the spiritual awakening. All of the things that I commented when I said that to my buddy was, you know, it falls into that same category as how can I find God? Stop searching, right? Because it's all self-centered, right? It's all about self, right? Anytime you're going to go on to a platform and put a question out there like that, you know, self's involved, right? Because if self wasn't involved, we wouldn't care about the question, right? You know, I don't need to, you know, worry about the promises. If I work this program and on the outs, when it's all said and done, the promises come true. They're not something that I have to seek or look for or get, right? It's just an existence. And I shared, you know, the other day that the fact is that working this program, putting all the effort, the time, the meetings, working with others, working with the sponsor, in the end, all the program and people are asking you to be is a very, very, very good person, right? Very good person, an exceptionally good person. And in the times in the world that we live in today, exceptionally good, right? Because the bar set down so low, right, that, you know, if you can find that place, if I can find that place, people might actually think you're really good, right? And what does that mean? You know, we don't lie, cheat, and steal, right? We don't drink. We don't do drugs. You know, we don't do all of those character defects because, as the steps teach us, those are the things that keep us sick. And so I know for me, I came in the program and just thought I had a drinking problem. And so once that stopped, which was basically day one, I just didn't have the interest or realize how important it was that I realized that I'm not here because of my drinking, right? I'm here because of my thinking. I'm here because I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And I was like, I could say I realized it, but really I just didn't realize it it hasn't been that long, right? I still, for the longest time, been here for my drinking problem. And this really all comes around to, in the end, this spiritual awakening. And, you know, for me, what I've learned, at least for the spiritual awakening, is just a life being very exceptionally good person. Because exceptionally good people don't usually have a lot of problems, right? I mean, if, you know, my day, I wake up, right? I make some coffee. I sit around, look at my phone a little bit, take a shower, go to work. I show up for work on time, right? And the funny thing is that to be an exceptional person, all you have to really do is just the normal things that we would do, right? Get up, go to work, be grateful, be kind to your clients or whatever it is that you do, work your full day, come home, have dinner with your family, relax, you know, go to bed, do it all over again. You know, that's obviously the simple version of it, but, you know, that's pretty much my day, right? There's not too many crazy things. We may, you know, we had family in town, so we, you know, went down to the beach, but we were like, yeah, what can we do? Let's take you. You know, we can, you know, it's just in the end, just being a good person. And that's pretty boring, right? Because that's not why I came here. Because when I came here, I had a huge problem, right? And the huge problem is that I was losing my world because of my drinking. And I was blaming the drinking, and everybody around me was blaming the drinking. And as soon as I quit doing the drinking, they're like, you're doing so good. Look at this. You're doing it. And it's just the beginning, right? It's just the beginning. And we get, you know, I remember getting a little taste of it. I shared that first day not drinking. I was like, man, this is fantastic. And really what it was just a place that I wasn't afraid of anything all of a sudden. You know, but over time, the life comes back, right? Self comes back and fear comes back. And it's hard to have a relationship, for me at least, with God if I am consumed in self and selfish things, right? And sometimes, you know, and I've shared before, sometimes I just make a choice that I'm going to be letting go of the hand of God because it's just going to be too much stuff going on. And I am going to be annoyed, right? I'm going to be inconvenienced. And arrogance will show up, maybe in small forms of it. But, you know, like when our family came in town, they were going to be in town for a week. I knew right away that I would be inconvenienced. And you know, when I say inconvenience, you know, where I would maybe come home from work and just kind of eat dinner and just watch TV, we're going to need to go do some stuff. We're going to need to take him to the boardwalk or we get to take him to the boardwalk, right? But we're going to go experience some things with them that will take us a little bit out of our daily routine, and that can feel inconvenient, right? And you know, what creates arrogance? Inconvenience. And that's where, you know, attitudes show up and whatever it is. So, you know, I already known. I'm like, this is going to be a week that I'm not holding the hand of God because I'm going to be inconvenienced, right? And but, you know, when I say that to myself, then when the times or the moments come up, I try to not actually fall into what I predicted would happen, right? Like, and exactly what happened. You know, one night I worked and my wife's like, you know, they want to go down to the boardwalk. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, that'll be great. You know, I knew that was going to happen. And when I'd predicted it earlier, I was like, this is going to be annoying, right? Because, you know, we live at the beach where freaking millions of people come here for the boardwalk. And so I'm going to take them to the place where the most people are. And having said it earlier, I was like, and so when it finally came to fruition, right, we got to do this. I was like, you know what? Okay, this will be fine. We're going to do this. And it was fine. It was awesome, man. We got to go down there. The kids loved it. We got to share this wonderful place that we live in proudly, right? And then one night they wanted to go down to the beach to watch the sunset at the beach. I was, you know, before they got here, I knew they were going to want to do that. I told myself, they're going to want to go see the sunset at the beach. And so when they came up, they want to go to the sunset. I'm like, that's going to be great. Let's do it. It was amazing. My son and I swam in the ocean at 8 o'clock at night with the sun setting and the towers and the freaking dolphins. And I'm like, we need to be down here every night. So cool. But that's all self, right? Self can ruin a perfectly good day. So for me today, I like to call self out. I prepare self. And then when the event actually comes up, I try not to make it a big deal. You know, I've been sober long enough that I know better. And I don't know. My latest issue is I'm just freaking sort of sick of humans. And I don't mean all humans, but just the ones that I seem to service lately. I don't know. Maybe it's my dad, you know, being sick, but I'm just not feeling it. I mean, I'll get over it. I'll work it out, but man, it's been stressful. And I've been thinking about wanting to retire and I don't know, be a hermit, whatever. I'm just tired of dealing. You know, I have a great job. I'm a hairdresser. I've shared that. But one of the tough things about my job is that I'll probably see anywhere from 5 to 15 people in a day, and every person has a personality that I need to, you know, chameleon, become a chameleon, right, and change how I think or talk to accommodate their personality so that we can have a decent conversation, right? So, you know, I have a lady come in who's, you know, not doing well, problems in the family. I have to be sympathetic. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And then I'll have somebody that's young that doesn't give a shit, and they're doing their thing. And I'm like, ah, that's awesome. And so it just gets exhausting. And sometimes I just don't have the energy to metamorphosize into something that I'm not. So it's just been wearing on me. I think it's just been a long summer. And, you know, we needed to chill out, get into some fall, and maybe slow down a little bit. But it's been a thing. I mean, I've been, you know, and what happens is sometimes I can be, you know, I don't have the fake laugh, or I don't have, you know, whatever it is that, you know, keeps the conversation going, right? You're just like, okay, whatever, right? Where, like, the lady that cuts my hair, she's an expert at shape-shifting, right, to every client. And, you know, when she cuts my hair, I'll get there early and I watch her, and she's just, oh my God, just so good at it. And I just, that's where I definitely struggle, is changing my personality sometimes. But it'll work it itself out. I just told on myself, it's been annoying me, so hopefully that'll help. You know, it's nothing to drink over. It's, you know, but these are all character defects, right? These are just defects in my character that I have to be aware of, and I have to address, and I have to, because once I'm aware of it, I can be better. And, you know, and I'm sharing this because really I don't have a whole lot of things going on. This might be one of the biggest, right? And so I'm sharing it, but, you know, when I share it like this, it'll cut it in half, and I'm going to have a great day tomorrow. I'm very busy tomorrow. I mean, I think I have 13 clients tomorrow. I'm just going to take each one as, you know, a new person, and just try to be my best. Now that I've shared it, hopefully I'll be better at it. And, but yeah, that is the one thing that's been wearing on me, is like, I'm just slightly tired of people. All right, let me see if we can read the daily. How much time do we have? Time? Oh, all right. Let's see what we got here. I hear things. All right, daily reflection. Wonder what it'll talk about. All right, a frame of reference. August 19th. Referring to our list, inventory again. Putting out our minds the wrong others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes where we had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Yes. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 67. There is a wonderful freedom in not needing constant approval from colleagues at work or from the people I love. I wish I had known about this step before, because once I developed a frame of reference, I felt able to do the next right thing, knowing that the action fit the situation and that it was the correct thing to do. Yeah, I think that sort of goes back to what my buddy posted on his Facebook page, you know. Let me read that again just at the top. Referring to our inventory again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Yeah, you know, I talked about the spiritual awakening. You know, I think for me the key was really accountability. I've shared, you know, many times this revelation that I had, where I made the list of people that had harmed me. And that allowed me to really take a hard look and realize that every person that had harmed me, it was my fault, right? But until I could do that, I was a victim, or I was a volunteer, right? And more of a volunteer than a victim, because I deserved what I got. So I volunteered for it. But that's, you know, that stuff, when you're a volunteer or a victim like that, that's all self, right? And self, when I'm bathing in that selfishness, right, I'm not holding the hand of God. I'm having no spiritual awakening. And, you know, one of the things I've realized is that spiritual awakening is not a state of mind where I reach and just stay there. I get glimpses of it. It's impossible, I think, for me to constantly live in a spiritual awakening, because there's just too much stuff going on in my life. you want to live on the top of a mountain as a monk, right? And sing and praise God all day and not talk with other human beings and just do work for God. That's it. You're going to hold the hand of God 100% all the time. But my world doesn't allow it because I just don't have, I have to like manage my family, right? I have to manage my job. I have to get to meetings. I have to balance what my kids want. You know, my daughter told, I got home from work tonight or today, excuse me. And my daughter's like, Daddy, I was like, yes. She goes, you know, it's soft serve ice cream day. Like, yes, I knew that. Someone had sent a post, or I think my mother-in-law had posted it. And what does that mean? That I'm going to have to take them to go get soft serve down to Sweet Frog. I get two, right? But, you know, that's, you know, that wasn't part of the original plan of what I thought I was doing today. So, of course, I'm slightly inconvenienced, right? Of course, I'm slightly bothered. I'm, you know, self is coming out. I'm not having a spiritual awakening right now. I am having a selfish awakening. And, but the good part is, right, when we work the steps and we learn all about it, we are aware, or I am aware, you're going to be not holding the hand of God, right? So I'm not capable of having a 100%, 100 all the time spiritual awakening. It's just not possible. But I get glimpses of it and I'm fine with that. I don't need to be in a constant spiritual awakening. 80% of the time is fine. 80-20, like hamburger, right? I like 80-20 hamburger. That's how I like my spiritual awakening. 80% of the time and 20% of the, you know, feeding the devil. And, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, I am, that's a good reading. And then, you know, sort of the whole point about recovery, right? You know, there's we get to a place working the steps where we don't have to explain it, right? It's not important. Someone say, what does recovery mean? And I say, I don't know. You know, actually, the definition of sobriety in the dictionary, and it says it in there, is really to be free of drink, right? Serenity is what we should be shooting for. And that is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Says a lot. I hope everyone has a great day. Later.